Peace be with all of you. So today's sermon, we will talk about children education. So those of us with children, we have different age group of children. Some of you, your children already are youths. And some of your children could be adults married with their own children. But the parents of this generation all have this same feeling that it is a challenge to teach children nowadays. And in the market, there's a lot of methods and teachings concerning how to teach your children. So all these teachings are more and more complicated. But if we go back to the Bible, in the New Testament, the New Testament gives us the simplest and the most direct principle to teach our children. And that is, you parents, do not exasperate your children and bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And so this verse, there's two parts to it. One is the positive and one is the negative. And the negative says, you must not exasperate your children. In other words, do not let them resist you. Do not let them become your enemies. And the other positive part is, in the course of their growing up, you must let your children understand and know the instruction of the Lord. So, simply put, this verse just says that you parents, when you are with your children, you must be happy. You must have friendly and good relationships with your children. And for their whole life, you must let them know their Creator God. So it's very simple and direct. So perhaps many people may think that the Bible surely have a lot of mysteries concerning teaching of children. Because nowadays in the world, there are a whole person teaching of the children. You teach this, teach that. Even have natal or training during the pregnancy. So you need to motivate your children to stretch his potential. So, but when you looked at the New Testament, there's only one verse. So you are so amazed, right? So in other words, all the other teachings that we talk about just now, they are optional. I'm not saying that they are not important, but it's not critical. So some people say, I didn't really teach my children since very young, or I didn't let them learn piano since young, or attend any enrichment class to become the math Olympian. So if since young, you never have given your children all these extra teachings, and my encouragement to you is, all these are not the emphasis, because even if you do all that, all those things, it may not bring them great benefit. And if you didn't do that, it may not bring them huge losses. So many parents put their emphasis on these things. And so why is the children education in this generation more and more complicated? Basically, it is this. What the Bible tells us not to do, for example, do not exasperate your children. We kept doing those things. And yet, the Bible, whatever the Bible tells us to do, for example, to teach them in the instruction of the Lord, we didn't do those things. Now, if the Bible only says one line, so you can imagine how much the weight of that one verse carries. So we must really think through, what does it mean by exasperating children? And what does it mean by bringing them up in the instruction and training of the Lord? Now, if you do not do this, and you take reference from this teaching and that reference, then the whole children education will become more and more complicated. So in today's market, there's so many books on children education, on children psychology, on how to build up the confidence of children, how to groom them into excellent children. If you look at all, if you notice, such books are everywhere. But you look at the young people, young generation of today's era, Now, many parents cannot communicate with their children, and many children just end up in the wrong path. A lot of juvenile delinquents, they are involved in scams, and they take drugs. They also resort to violence. Although not every youth are like this, but more and more youths are becoming like this. So we must ask, especially parents and Christian parents in this era, have they gone in the wrong direction in terms of teaching their children? So, the main thing is, when for us who take the Bible and for us who have the revelation of God, have we ever carefully considered God's word? What does it mean by do not exasperate your children and bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord? Now, if we didn't take God's word seriously to ponder deeper, but we go and study other methods, then eventually it will all be in vain. So now a lot of young couples, they feel like giving birth to children is a huge burden. So the first thing they think of about having children is to have a bigger house, to have a car, to have more money, to allow them to go to university. All these things are not unimportant, but they are secondary. So some parents, they just think that our lives will be better as long as our children are older. But in fact, it's not just about taking care of their basic needs, but when your children grow up, when they form their own thinking, their values, their moral values, you know that all these are more important and all these are harder to instill into your children. So if you do not teach your children well in 1 year, you realize you need to take 2 years to do damage control and to teach them back on the right path. So a lot of parents, we are not sure whether they are too kiasu or they are too busy. They just pack their children's schedule very full. So they allow their children to participate in all kinds of classes, and they allow their children to learn this and that. And so when the parents do that, they put a lot of pressure on themselves and on the children. And so when they cannot take it, and then they start to protest to the government to remove the PSLE, to change the education system. But many a times we must ask, because the parents had their own illusion and give them this unnecessary pressure. It's as if the children didn't do this, then they cannot catch up. In fact, all these are our own illusion. And for the Christians, that's because we have not gone back to the Word of God. We are not faithful to the Word of God. In fact, what God has given us is very direct and very simple. But when people depart from God and do not believe in God, then they complicate their own lives. And they add on to their lives all kinds of teachings and make it more complex. So, how can the family educate the children? And that implicates the whole society. So how do you educate the next generation is directly related to the society. So when the earlier generation cannot understand the present generation, and this present generation also cannot understand the next generation, then what will the whole society become? The whole society will be divided. And it will bring about the problem of succession. So whether it's in the church or in the country, it's very hard for leadership succession to happen. Because in the society, this generation and the next generation, they have a huge gap in their thinking, huge difference in their thinking, and so the society lost its original foundation and it distorted the structure of the society. Of course, you say that the times are always changing. And so it's of course certain that people and the times will keep changing. Yes, it's right. But a healthy change is a change that is not departed from the foundation. So it's on the unshaken foundation you gradually change. And it's not a drastic change within a short time. So suddenly you realize one generation rises up and their thoughts about sex and marriage is so liberal and so open, and their thinking toward human rights and freedom is without restraint, and their thoughts about work and success is without the concept of diligence and hard work, and they just want to go into investments and into quick successes. So when the next generation has all these beliefs and thoughts, then the earlier generation's hard work and trust and working through a very down-to-earth manner are all lost, all these things. So I'm not talking about conservative and being open, but I'm talking about being faithful to the Bible. So whether you are the parent, or today you are not a parent, you are just a Sunday school teacher, but as you teach the next generation, God has given you a huge responsibility. So it depends on our prayers. Our next generation depends on our prayers. How far we have seen, how deep we have seen, this relates to the next generation. So today, let's ponder upon the challenges of teaching our children. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. This is the verse I've been emphasizing just now. And the Old Testament only gives us this one verse. Let's read together. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, whichever parents is successful in doing this, then that parent is a successful one. The God who created human soul and who created human life, human thinking, human emotions, He says this, that your relationship with your children, the neighbor can exasperate your children, but you as parents, you must not exasperate your children. And also among all the teachings, the most important is God's teaching, God's training and instruction. Sometimes you need to teach, sometimes you need to admonish, you need to remind. And that's how you teach your children. It is just this. So where are our challenges? Let's look at God's word. 2 Timothy verse 3. But mark this, there will be terrible, terrible times in the last days. So what are terrible times? Does it mean the shortage of food or wars? No. But here it talks about the human's inner state, the fullness of human sin. So verse 2, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. They should respect and love their parents, but yet they became ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control. So they are brutal. They are not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And then having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. And so what's the point here? It talks about the crisis of an era. Terrible times will surely come. So let's turn to Proverbs. I believe many parents should know this. So Proverbs chapter 22 verse 15. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. So nowadays, children psychology didn't say such things, and they in fact object to this. So they object to the teacher taking a cane to discipline the children. In the US, if a teacher did that, the student can call the police. So the direction of the modern culture is in opposite direction from the Bible. So you must first recognize this. So if you only go into the world and you take reference from the world, and yet you do not know the Bible as the overall principle, and you believe a lot in the psychology of the world, then I worry for you. So when we talk about the challenges of children education, there's two areas. One is the external environment. The fallen environment full of sins. And that environment causes people to easily sin. And then the next problem is what? That is our innate sinful nature within every person. So our inner sinful nature versus our outward environment that fits very much with our inner sinful nature. And when these two inward and outward factors come together, it brings a lot of challenges. So let's think through. First, we think about the external environment we are in. Now, a lot of parents, they just lament that it's so tough to teach children nowadays. Have you ever asked why? I believe that many people can see that. But if you look at it from a very long-term view and objective view, then what exactly does this macro environment bring to us and our children? So first of all, we must know. We modern people versus people in the past, whether it's in terms of living or thinking, we are quite different. So if you look at the external environment, people in the past, they live in the rural areas, in the village. They wake up in the morning, they are not so rushing to work. They ate breakfast with the parent, they do some farming, and then they study in a very nearby school and only study for a few hours, and then they come back home and spend a huge bulk of time with their parents at home. Even when they play with the children opposite their house, and then they come back home. So that's the times of the past, a few decades ago. Now the world changes very fast, and we have very city light right now, and so you realize the modern times is not like this. Now many children have no time to spend with their parents. So nowadays, children have to wake up very early in the morning, and then they have to go to school. They study and they come back. They have a lot of CCA and a lot of activities, and they were very tired when they come home. And parents are also rushing because the parents also had work. And so they just let the children rush through their activities, and weekend comes and they also rush to and fro church. So there's many things to do. So their whole lives are packed. So their exposure to the external world is getting wider. So an US educator, he wrote a book. He wrote about the disappearance of childhood, and he said, have you realized that nowadays there's no more children? Then you say, why do you say so? Because there's children everywhere. But then he clarified, nowadays children are about the same as adults. So they were saying, last time children are wearing children outfit, but nowadays children wear the same kind of attire like the parents. Like 5 and 6 years old, the kind of outfit they wear is similar to their parents. It's as if wearing the same kind of fashion as the adults, then it's called fashionable. In the past, children just played marble games, five stones, and we also like to play hide and seek the most. So they like to play hide and seek, like hiding behind the piano and all those. But nowadays, children, they play the games of the adults. Nowadays, you tell the 6 or 7 year old child, you ask them to learn badminton or learn swimming. They are being motivated to play the game in a way to be an athletic. So they have lost their innocence, kind of, and they have lost their childhood. So that writer just wrote that it seems as if there's no more children, because children are no longer innocent. The way the children talk, their attitudes, their aspiration, and their mindset is about the same as children. You know, they will think that in future, I want to be successful, and their understanding toward sex is deeper and deeper. In fact, they shouldn't know all these things too prematurely, and yet they knew. And the children also know about money, investment, and some of the children, they have more knowledge than adults. My daughter used to have a friend in the primary school, and she went to the a top secondary school. And so about 17 years old, on the news, I saw her friend in the newspaper, and I told my daughter, "Isn't this your friend?" So this friend, she has this entrepreneur skills, so they can observe the market trends. And her father is also in this line. So when the friend was 16 to 17 years old, the father gave her money and asked her to observe the market trends and to do certain investment. So I got a shock when I heard this. So she's a very bright child in a very top school. But everything such children do sort of make them lose their childhood. So children should be innocent, and there are certain things that children shouldn't be meddling, shouldn't be worried about. But yet, things are no longer like that. So nowadays, what we have seen, the phenomenon that we have seen, is like, these children, they are very mature, they start to know about many things, and all this come from a very great invention, and that is electronic equipment, and that is internet, and that's smartphones. So electronics already have transformed or have put a computer into the hands of every child. It has entered the bedrooms of every child. It has come into the dining table of every child. Have you seen one report in 2018? It says that children 8 to 12 years old, every week they will spend about 35 hours on the internet and using their electronics. So, if it's 35 hours per week, it means that every day about 5 or 6 to 7 hours they spend on the phone, and they are just 8 to 12 years old. So, the child's rationality is maturing, but yet their heart. You must ask: can their heart understand and explain all these things? Can the children resist the information and temptation from the internet? So on the internet, things concerning sex and violence. So the children nowadays, they just think that all these are very common. Recently, someone took a knife to slash others. So the children are not surprised because they see all this news on the internet every now and then. Because after they have viewed all these things too often on the internet, they are desensitized. So you must ask whether the children's heart makes sense and handle all this information. So indirectly, all this information are shaping them, affecting them. So things that they should worry and be afraid of, they already do not have that kind of emotions. And things, for example, about sex that they should be curious about, they are no longer curious. So what kind of world is this? So some people say, this world, why are there doctors? Because many people do not know medicine. But if everyone knows what the doctor knows, then there will be no longer any doctors in the world. If everyone knows what the lawyers know, then there's no need for any lawyer to be present in the world. And so if everyone knows what the adults knows, then this world will no longer have children. So have you ever thought about this? No more children and the disappearance of childhood. So it's like the current state. So they are, because the children knew all these things, they are mature in their knowledge and their head. You ask them whatever things they say they know, but yet their heart is still very immature and they cannot resist the temptations and they cannot handle those kind of influences. And so that's why children had certain wounds, especially when they are born into a broken family and the parents are divorced. So when the child is still young and parents quarrel and they heard about the father having another woman outside the family, so a 7 to 8 years old child, when he knows all these things, maybe when you are older you can manage this kind of information, but when you are 7 to 8 years old and you get this kind of information, then how? Then they will have a form of disappointment, hopelessness, resentment, and they will be puzzled, why is it that someone whom I respect will do such a thing? So their heart cannot understand this. So what is that? What is that? So what is that kind of disappointment and hurts? It's because their heart cannot bear with that kind of information. And so that leads to hurts and trauma. And so that's how this world is influencing our next generation, our children. So juvenile delinquency is getting worse, and premarital pregnancy are also increasing. And so this is the kind of macro environment in which we are living in. And so some people didn't care about this. They just grow up and they knowing that times have changed. But why is it that in the Sunday school we have this RITT? Because we talk about the current affairs of the world so that the children can discern things of the world. What is sexual immorality, violence, same-sex attraction, and things that's happening in the world. And why are people investing in stocks and they had huge earnings and 19 years old, they become millionaire. And when all these things happen, we transform them into a lesson to teach our children. Because if you do not teach the children, then they look at all this news and they think about success. And you must understand that nowadays, what they learn in the secondary school are things about Jack Ma, Elon Musk. And they talk about how much they are worth in terms of dollars and cents. And so that becomes the aspiration of the young people. So now, if you do not feel about what I'm talking about, that means you're already too consumed by the world. So all this macro environment and plus our children also have their innate sinful nature. When the two come together, it is terrible. So nowadays, parents face a huge pressure. So the Bible tells us the children, they are innocent, they are without experience, they are adorable. But you must also know that the Bible also tells us that a child is not ignorant in terms of sin. A child is not ignorant in terms of sin, because every child born into this world, he already had the seed of sin in their heart. So every child develops their rationality, their heart, within the sinful nature. So as they grow, they know how to be greedy, to hate, to be jealous, to indulge all kinds of desires. So when this sinful nature comes into contact with the sinful world, then a child, in the beginning, the child is satisfied with the parents alone. But now in the world, there's many things that make him greedy, fearful, and also tempt him sexually. Then in the child's heart, he knows that all these things are wrong. But that's how the world is like. That's what his peers are into. and that's what he's in contact with through the handphone. And so when all these things come, this child starts to feel helpless. The good that he wants to do, he cannot do. The evil that he doesn't want to do, he keeps doing. He doesn't want to think, but he keeps thinking. He doesn't want to cheat, but he keeps cheating. So humans, we have the conscience. But as a person grows and he's in contact with all these things, you know that it is wrong, but you cannot resist the wrong. So when this thing happens, a person's natural reaction is to hide himself. Just like Adam and Eve, the moment they sin, they cover themselves with the fig leaves. Because there's already distrust, there's already the shame, so they covered themselves. So as a child grows up, he starts to cover himself from the parents more and more. So the parents will ask, "No, child, what are you looking at? Who are you going out with?" And the child refused to divulge and just say, "Don't care about me." And so the parents will ask, "What computer games are you playing?" And so then the child will say, "Do not look." And then he will shut his door toward you. So nowadays, a lot of children are portraying Genesis chapter 3's problem. They themselves know that what they like is not good, is what their parents detest, but yet they shut themselves all the more away. In fact, in the whole world, only the parents will be responsible for their lives, but yet the child wants to get away from the parents and do not want the parents to interfere into their lives, because they themselves know that they cannot face the parents, because they also struggle a lot with right and wrong. So nowadays, young people, they cannot communicate more and more with their parents because they want to hide themselves more and more from the parents. And the helpless parents, they turn to psychologists and they seek certain advice on how to teach children. And the psychologists just tell the parents, "You must be friends with the children. What must you talk to the children? And the psychologists tell the parents, "Rest assured, your child has huge potential. It's just that they lack. It's just that your child lacks confidence, so you must boost his confidence so that he can live out his potential. But if you go back to the roots, why is it that a child cannot unleash his potential and use the gifts that God has given him? Is it because he lacks confidence? In the past, when I went to parents-teacher session in the school, because my child has a lot of problems in school, and the child says, "Your child lacks confidence." So I think to myself, what kind of confidence? What do you mean by confidence? He is just in his sinful nature. Every child is born in sin, and then he is in contact with friends, environment, and people that triggers his sinful nature. So the degree of the sinful nature being triggered is different. So some children, they lie, some they are proud. Some children, they are easily inferior. They have the inferiority complex. And some children, they are very violent. Some children, they are very lazy. Some children lack self-discipline. You ask them to study by themselves, then they are finished. And some children, they just live as they please. And some children, they are very stubborn in what they want to do. And in the beginning, the parent may think that such a child has strong aspiration. But later on, the path that they chose may give the parent a shock, because they are just aiming for success without grounded ways. So every child is born in sin, and when that sinful nature is in contact with the world, it manifests in different forms. So as you are teaching your children, if you just merely think that he's without self-confidence and you just merely want to be a friend to the child, that is starting from the wrong foundation. So the world's psychology tells us the greatest lie. You give the psychologist a lot of money, and the psychologist tell you what? The psychologists tell you to believe in yourself. You must know how to love yourself. You must accept yourself. When you accept yourself, you can unleash and live out your full potential. No, but the Bible tells us that you must know that you yourself is a sinner. And because you are a sinner, you must know the grace of God. So whatever the Bible says is just the opposite of what the world tells you. Because in the beginning, the Bible talks about human sin. But that truth is being covered by the world. So in terms of teaching your children, you can teach this and do that. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have a friendly relationship with your children, but you must still teach your child. You must still restrain your children. You must still remind your children. Sometimes you may think your child is on the right track, but suddenly he may do something to shock you, and then by then you scold him, it's too late. So no matter how a child is obedient, or whether he has some, so if he has some distorted thinking, and his sinful nature will easily combine with the world to bring about the wrong actions or living or wrong choices. So all this, as a parent, you must be mindful. So you must not see that a child is a little angel. Let me tell you, your child is a little sinner. There's a difference between little angel and little sinner. And so what is it about the little sinner? When you look at your child, do not just see that he resembles you. He is a miniature version of you. So a lot of sinful thoughts that you have about selfishness, sexual immorality, hatred, jealousy, as your child grows up, he will be more and more similar, even worse than you. Because he is living in a more fallen society, times as you. So my wife always says, your children cannot escape from you. But I reply my wife, because I know what is sin. So I can interpret, I can understand my children's sin. Because I am a sinner, he is also a sinner. So when the child says this, then later he will reveal his true motive and true colors. So from the moment you understand your child's sinful nature, you will be able to detect. So if you do not restrain your children, when the child grows up, this little sinner will become a true blue sinner. And so some people, when they are 40, 50 years old, you see that they cannot self-restrain their temperament of selfishness and sinful nature. They hurt themselves and they hurt others because their parents have been permissive to them when they are young. Now, some Christians, after they are born again, they are transformed by God. But you still realize there are some things that some residual problems that comes from your younger days where your parents didn't teach you, but God will discipline you. Then you have to ask yourself, why are all these things so stubborn? Why are all these sins so stubborn in me? This temperament is so stubborn. Because since young, the Bible tells us that folly spirit is not driven out. So the Bible says, let's look at the Bible. Do not exasperate your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Let's look at the second part of the verse. You must bring up your children in the training and instruction of the Lord. So parents must only bring up your children in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, many parents, they have this misunderstanding. So a lot of parents think that they have brought hurts to their children. They have said the wrong things to the children, or they have been too harsh to their children in terms of educating them. So many parents live in regrets over what they have done to their children. But the Bible says the key thing is not what you have done to your children, but what you did not do to your children. Now, which person living in this sinful world is without hurts? Now, which child has never been misunderstood by the parents? Now, sometimes parents beat us wrongly. We also have been hurt in these areas. But why can you recover? Because somebody taught you. Some people brought you before God. They even rebuke you, and that's why you recover. So, a parent, if you want to do good to your child, it's not what you have done to them. Sometimes when we read about, watch certain documentary, we read about this rapist and murderer who have been sentenced to 20, 30 years of imprisonment. And then their testimony is such that they remember how their parents violated them or scolded them harshly, or they've been ill-treated by their parents. So a lot of them mention how they have received harms, and that's why they got perverted, and that's how they became someone like themselves today. So I kept asking myself, is that the problem? Now, so many people have been ill-treated in the world. So many people have been sexually assaulted, but yet they didn't become such criminals. So we cannot give excuse to say that I've been hurt in this way and that's why I become like that. The Bible tells us that you as parents, you must bring whatever you should teach and train, you didn't do so. Whatever you should warn, you didn't warn. And that is the problem. Even if you are not careful and you slap your children, later on you just need to apologize to your children and say that, you know, you are also a sinner and your child is also a sinner. And so if you teach your child well and you teach your children very clearly with the teachings of the Lord to restrain and remind your child, then you need not fear, because the hurts that your child ever receive will be nursed and will be well very fast. Now, people cannot understand certain things, and people cannot understand why their parents treat them that way. But when the parents explain themselves and your heart is able to understand, then you will not have any lingering hurts. So when you teach your children, many parents, in terms of teaching their children, is, you know, sometimes you see the child has excellent studies. So some parents, when they see that their children is good in studies, then they don't really teach them in terms of their moral character. And some parents, they are afraid to have this struggle with their children emotionally. So when the child gives them face, they cannot take it. So from morning to night, the child didn't put down the handphone. In the past, you nag at them or you correct them, but now you no longer restrict them. So this is not just cowardly parents, but it's irresponsible parent. So when your child cannot let go of the handphone, you must tell the child. You must speak to the child. You know, there's something that really displeases parents nowadays. You need to sit the child down to talk to them. No, if the child is at 12 years old, you didn't say that to him. When the child is 16 years old, he locks himself in the room, then he will not care about what you say. Even if you call him to come out for dinner for 1 hour, he wouldn't listen to you, because at 12 years old, you didn't restrain him. So, brothers and sisters, so just now, Proverbs chapter 22. Just now we read Proverbs 22 verse 15. It says, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far away, far from him. So the Bible just didn't say that you must beat the child with a rod when he does wrong, but the Bible tells us that folly is bound up in the heart of a child. So he wants to sin, and his sinful behavior will be more and more obvious. So you need to drive out all these sins as they emerge. If you don't do that, when it becomes a stronghold, it will be tougher. So now parents nowadays are very busy with their work, so they have no time to participate or get involved with the life of the child. So they earn a bit of money, but they destroy the lives of their children. So I always share my values with brothers and sisters. Perhaps you still want to work after having your children, but especially for sisters, you need to lighten the workload of your office work. So if your work demands a lot of overtime in the non-office hours, then how can you attend to your children? So you must focus on your children, and you need to know how to speak to your child and be in contact with the child, because if you just let the child be, then folly is bound up in the heart of the child. And plus nowadays there is the TV, internet. If you do not teach your child, then your child will be bound up by more folly. So all of us must really pay attention. Many parents, because they trust and believe in psychology, so they keep wanting to be friends with the children. Recently, we have the parent session. My youngest son, he's about to graduate from the secondary school. So the recent parent session is because the mid-year exam is over. So the teachers told me that your child is not attentive and he's using the phone in the class. And the teachers also said that it's not just the problem of your child, but a lot of children are like this. And so my wife told the teachers that, you know, teacher, we are thankful for you teachers to communicate with our children, because the moment you take away their handphones, they will quarrel. Because some children, they are just very irritated when their phones are taken away. So parents don't want to struggle with their children. Teachers also don't want to struggle with the student. But my wife told them that, I give you the permission to take away my child's handphone. I give you the permission to do that. You must take the phone away. So some child, if you scold them a little bit, they can put away their handphone. But how many children are like this? So later we have a meeting with the Sunday school. So some teachers, they also have feedback about certain children. So if you cannot do that in school, it's harder to do it in church, because church is a place of grace. But yet, church is also a place to have discipline. So for me, my point of view is, if parents are more or less okay, so you must all remove their handphones from them. Or we have to buy a pigeonhole to put everyone's handphone in there. So in the past, pigeonholes are used to put books, but now the pigeonholes are used to put handphones. And so some schools, they implemented that, to have the pigeonholes to lock the student's handphone. So especially the famous school, the top schools, they have this practice, because they knew how distracting it is for the students who have the handphone with them. So the top schools, they implemented this practice. So the child may be angry with you and protest with you for 1 week. It's okay, you just endure it for 1 week. And that is teaching your children, that is education. So the Bible tells us that you must teach and instruct, and with that comes restraint. So a child will slowly understand, because of his sinful nature, he needs to be restrained, and he also will know his helplessness, and he knows that he has to depend on God and the help of God to spend his life. So whatever the psychology tells you to unleash his potential in music, in math, but you must know that if you do not deal with the folly in his heart, then whatever potential your child has is also nothing. Because the sinful nature can prompt him to give up, to stop learning, to want nothing, but just want to do whatever he wants to do. So no matter what gifts or how talented your child is, if you didn't drive out his folly and his sinful nature, then eventually you will only live in regret. Because every good gift that Father God has given your child will rot if his folly and sinful nature is not dealt with. So a child, could be very average and simple, but you must not give him illusion, telling him he's very smart and he's top-notch or whatever. And last time, I used to tell my children these things, and up to a point, I stopped saying all these things. So once I told my child, do you know that you're very intelligent? So my child says, everybody says that. You know, even the teacher says that. So then one day I changed. I say, child, do you know that you're actually very average? So if you do not work hard, then you're finished. So with my elder son, sometimes when I jog with him, he used to be quite lazy in the past. So when he's in primary school, he's a bit plump. So I brought him to jog. So he's always in a blur and not focusing when the teacher is teaching. So I told him that he lacks self-discipline. So I jog with him 6 rounds. But now he's the best runner in our house. And so once every 2 days, he will go jogging nowadays. So I told my son that you are just a very average child. You are not like a gifted person, but you have a very simple heart. That's the first thing God has given you. And Father loves you. And Father will always pray for you. So I give him this affirmation, but yet you are just average. So you must know that everyone will be lazy, but you need the self-discipline. You must help. You must seek the help of the Lord. You must obey God and work hard in your studies. But if you didn't score your ideal score, but if as long as you work hard, you just be contented with whatever grades God has given you. So in the past, he just listened. So primary 6, then secondary school. So his scores are not as good as his sister. But God every time allowed him to get into the course that he wanted to get into. So I told him that this is the evidence that God has given you, that even though you're average, but you know how to rely on God. So God will lead him surely. So I want you to understand that you must not give your children any illusion or delusions. So your child is a sinner, so are you. You are a sinner. So you have to use God's word to teach your child. So the world's psychology, the greatest problem with the world's psychology is they have the wrong diagnosis. I'm not saying that the world psychology is useless. You can take reference from it sometimes, but if they cannot diagnose correctly, if the world psychology cannot diagnose that they are sinners, only want them to believe themselves and accept themselves and love themselves, and when you say too much of all these things, it's pointless. But the problem is nowadays, many churches are also talking about this. Once I hear a pastor's wife talk about knowing to love oneself, so when you love yourself, then God will love you. So I was shocked by this kind of teaching. So is God listening to us? But I thought the truth is God first loved us. So some teachings are just invented by mankind. So we just briefly refer to the psychology, but what is important is we must know the spiritual state of our child. So later I'll share what is the Lord's instruction. So now I'll go back to what the Bible says. So as we teach our children and live with them, we must not exasperate their our children. So some people say, Pastor, we know whatever you have been saying. No, we need to teach them, restrain them. But the moment we teach them and restrain them, then we embitter them, then what do we do? So that's why it's tough. So pay attention to what I'm going to say, because a lot of parents misunderstand. You thought that if you are strict with your child, then your child will have enmity with you. This is a wrong mindset. If you are strict with your child, or if you restrain your child, this is not the basis for him to become enemies with you. What makes him resent you and be angry with you is because in your strictness, you are not consistent, you are not fair. And sometimes in your strictness, you lack love. So let me say it again. Please listen carefully. Now, children can bear with the strictness of their parents. So children are able to take the strict discipline of their parents. But if you are strict yesterday, but today not strict. So yesterday, for example, you may not be strict. So you give him the instruction that you can only play the handphone for 1 hour. But later on, when he take out his phone, during mealtime, you didn't criticize him. You didn't rebuke him. So when you're not consistent, then he has this mindset that, oh, he can play handphone on the dinner table. And then as that becomes his habit, and you didn't stop him in the past, and you suddenly want to stop him, then he won't be able to take it. So from there, you are just teaching by your flesh, but not by the principle of God. So as you notice your child lacking self-discipline, then you must discuss with your spouse. You must discuss and agree on a set of consistent discipline. So sometimes some people say, I am different from my spouse, and my spouse may not be a believer, but no matter how your spouse is different from you, as long as your child is with you at the dining table, you must be consistent with your teaching of the child, because your child will be very smart. You yourself must be consistent. The child may know that when he's with the father or mother, he cannot do this, although things may be different for the other parent. But as long as you're consistent, your child will learn. Another issue is unfairness. You know, the elder brother can do this, but the younger brother cannot do this. How can the younger brother be convinced? So if everyone is to sleep early, everyone must sleep early. So if the younger one complain, why must I sleep early, but the elder brother need not? You must explain to the younger brother. Maybe because you need to start school earlier. So the problem with Isaac and Rebecca is because they have favoritism between Esau and Jacob, and that's why they lead to sibling rivalry. And so between siblings, sometimes they have this rivalry because they felt that, you know, parents love this sibling because he can study better. So when you are unable to explain well in a fair way, then the child will not understand. So every time I will ask my child, do you understand why father scold you? So I ask them to give the reason, but they always give the wrong reason. And I always find it perplexed why they can't understand my heart, because they are bound up in folly. Because even after they sin, they don't know where the sin is. So they do not understand that their disobedience is not that matter. You may have acted in that way, but what the parents dislike is your disobedient attitude, your resistance to authority. Because in their sin, they are very confused. They cannot handle it themselves. And that's why you as parents, you need to teach them. Another thing is, another way you can always embitter your child is you only scold them. But actually, when you scold your children, yes, you scold them, but you don't later hug and cry together with them. So you must rebuke your child when it's necessary until he's repentant. And before sleep, you comfort him. So you must not let go of your anger so fast. But at the end of the day, you need to comfort him a little bit. So you must prepare your heart. That it doesn't mean that you rebuke him once, he'll be okay. So a lot of parents, they have their own delusion because the parents think that I've already rebuked my children, tomorrow he will be well. But we who know the truths, we know that when your sinful nature will end, that's when you meet Jesus. So we need to teach our children lifelong. So the more you know how to teach your children according to the word of God, you will be better. So sometimes when I rebuke my youngest son, I'm very fierce. I will tell my wife to go and approach the son, but I tell my wife what to say to I tell my wife to tell the son that the father actually really loves you. Because certain things I as a father at that moment I cannot say, but you as the mother you can say. So the son will know my authority. So if in the family you always pamper and hug the child, you know, if you don't eat this, I go downstairs to buy for you, then it's really terrible. Even in terms of eating, I struggle with my children. Some parents, you know, if the child do not eat vegetables, the parents will not give them vegetables, and so they are very picky with their food. And whatever you give him, they don't want means they don't want. So every time I will tell my children what God wants us to do. May not always be what we do not like. But what God wants us to do may not always be what we like also. 70% is what you like to eat and but yet or do. But 30% will be what you do not like to do. So the 30% is for you to learn. So recently, I talked to my youngest son, why is it that you dislike studying so much? And so his reply is, I do not have motivation. Nowadays, there's a lot of motivational talks. So the teacher also told me, my youngest son is not motivated. So only God gives motivation. So I told my son, you must not say that you have no motivation. Because if you depend on motivation to study, then it's hard for you to succeed. And then if you have no motivation to love your wife, then are you prepared for a divorce? So in life, there are things that you know is right and must continue to do, and as you continue to do, motivation will come. And so if you do not do, you will have that rebuild in you and you don't have motivation. Then the more you do not do it because of lack of motivation, the worse things will get. So is motivation important? So I talked to my younger son. I asked him, what do you like to do? For example, you like to do business. So in future, if you have motivation to do business, but if you do not earn money, you still have to continue. Otherwise, you have to shut down. So you still have to do things that you're not motivated. So you do not do things just because you feel good. But humans, we have the conscience. We have to do something because it is right. Now we only know to do things that we feel good about. Now, who doesn't want to feel good? But life is not just about feeling good, because the world is full of sin. There's many things you must do, you have to do, and after doing that, you have peace in your heart. And you'll feel relieved that, thankfully, I've done what I need to do and fulfilled my duty. And so this is a very important truth. So towards the young people of this generation, I want to say this. It's not just doing because you feel good, but doing because you know it is right. And that is what the Bible tells us. So do not exasperate your children. Another thing about not embittering your children is, very important teaching, you do not wait until, you do not just teach your children occasionally, but frequently. Now, let's read Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Meaning wherever you go, you just talk about it. It becomes a part of your living. So when we are teaching our children, especially when we teach them about God, parents usually bring everyone to prayer when something happened in the family. Or when there are certain situations, then they talk about God. But in normal times, they didn't value much on God's teaching. So God's word basically is the gospel. So if you look at the Old Testament, what does God instruct? Nowadays, when parents teach their children, they first talk about God's favor and grace. So every time if you say God favors us, it becomes like the whole world is yours. So if you have a parking lot, you say that God has given us the favor. If you have certain discount, then you attribute it to God's favor. Now if you start from grace, it's wrong. You must start from what? You must start from God's holiness. If you do not understand God's holiness, you cannot understand grace. So God is holy. That's the first thing. That's the most important. So the child knows. He knows that he will fear God. Although he's a sinner, he knows God is holy. Second, you must teach your child sin. So you must teach your child, you know, we are sinful. We easily deceive others. We easily indulge ourselves. So we and God, this God is so holy, but yet we are so sinful. And when you are clear on this, third, so we thank God because Christ has died for us. And then that is grace. So if you start from grace, the child will trample on grace. He must first know that God is holy and he is sinful, and then he must know God's and Christ's love. And fourth, what God wants us to do is to turn to God by faith every day, to obey him. And in our path, we must follow God every day. That's the fourth thing that the child should do, to live by relying on God. And that is the gospel, instructed by God. But this is not just theory. In our every living detail, we must bring out such meaning. So sometimes our family encounters such things and we are helpless, but God has grace and let's depend on God. So you find it difficult to study, you feel lazy, you know yourself, you shouldn't be like this, but we must obey God we must obey whatever God wants us to obey, and we must rely on God. So in teaching our children, in our daily living, we must let our children know that God is holy and yet loving and merciful, and He has mercy on us sinners. Then we humans can become like humans. And so let me say again, the grace theology in this generation is they are very dangerous because they reverse the order, and that develop a kind of spirit that depend on grace to feel superior. And so it's a form of pride. But God gives grace to the humble. You must remember this. No matter how successful you are, you must know that you are a sinner. Because the more successful you are, the more prideful you may become. So when you're proud of your children because of their success, you may forget and you didn't teach them because you feel they have grown up, they have become successful. Of course, when they are grown up, you need to respect them and you are proud of them. But sometimes when you see that they are a bit over, they are not so down to earth, you must remind them. Whether your child is 30 years old, 40 years old, you must teach them. So if you always teach them and always talk about this, and when it becomes your family culture, for example, because if you say no premarital sex, no cohabitation, you have not married yet, you cannot do this, you cannot do that, you cannot spend overnight, you cannot speak vulgarities. When you say all these things, some people say, Pastor, you are embittering your children. You must understand, why are you embittering your children? Because the whole counsel of God's word is not your frequent topic. And now suddenly you have this law or this warning, then your child will find it very strange. Because this has not been the family value. And suddenly, father and mother become very holy today. Don't know what's wrong with him. So the child will feel this discrepancy. And so that's why he became embittered. So we haven't really stared at ourselves carefully with the mirror. So dear brothers and sisters, so may the Lord help us. And finally, for you not to embitter your children, you must spend more time with your children. I'm thankful that these 2 years, I spent more time with my family, and this is God's gift for me in their growing up years, so that I don't fly here and there. So if you want to talk about God, as you lie down, as you sit, you lie down, you walk, that means you need to spend time to understand your children, to talk about things, and suddenly you see them, you lecture them with a lot of holy words, they cannot accept it. So let me come back. The pace of our society is very fast, but you yourself must choose whether you can slow down. And why can you make that choice? Because you value the Word of God. So there's no child who learned the bad way, but only child who had been neglected. When I spend time with my children, they may be mischievous, but they may not be too bad because they know the presence of the Father. Although they dislike the interference of the parents, it's okay. You can dislike us for now. In future, you will appreciate. But if you're afraid of his negative vibes right now, of course, you need to reflect upon yourself. But if you just go to work without caring for your children, then it's not good for them. So these are important words for parents of this generation. So my time is up. I can only say till here. Every year I'll have some insights, and this year, especially with regard to teaching the children. Now, Sunday school teacher, please pray for the next generation. So in the church, whether it's the children of the pastor or the elders or whoever, they are all the children of Sunday school. So do not just keep saying, hey, they are the pastor's kids, they are the elders' kids. So, you know, like some every other children, they are late. But if the pastor's children are late, you know, they will feel the stress. So actually, everyone is just average child. So even pastor's kids, you can scold them. I'll give you the permission. So as a Sunday school teacher, you must have the authority. So this church is not royalty and like a pastor is the king. No, everyone comes before God. Every child in their growing up years, they have their weaknesses and they need to be taught and rebuked. So how can you use righteousness and love to teach them? That depends on your wisdom. May God bless you. And let's pray. Lord, we thank you for using your word to encourage and to teach us. Please do the work of, please do your work in everyone's heart as we live in this challenging time. Teach us how to teach and restrain our children. We need to restore the authority as parents. Please add grace to us so that not just those who listen on site but online, we also know in our heart how to pray for the next generation. Lord, we thank you and we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.